I want to talk a little bit about prayer, but we won't be talking about it in the usual sense of it, at least for most of us, because I think most of us look at prayer as a kind of a response to a situation or a pain that we don't fully understand, and so we ask, as we often do in prayer, for what we imagine will bring an end to that disturbance in us. And I would be remiss if I said at all that prayer of any ilk could be wrong. Because after all, what do we pray from when we pray? Is not prayer, no matter how we formulate the idea, is it not a supplication of some kind that arises for the most part seemingly spontaneously from a sudden sense that something is incomplete, something is problematic? And regardless of how it is that I see what that problem or incomplete state may be, the only thing that I know to do when I experience that, whether I do it in what we would call prayer of a recognizable form, or there's just suddenly something in me that sits and knows that there is something going on that needs to be other than it is. That's good enough for that. So in a way, we're going to look at something, I guess it's a little advanced, but I hope that if you just will stay with me and listen and look at your experience through the insights and the things that I show you, whether or not there's truth to it, if I can find a tiny bit of truth, I will be nourished by it, and the part of me that's nourished by that truth will want a little bit more of that to come into my life. So let's first look at this idea. There is, I suppose, the most familiar, at least for Western people, the idea of the Lord's Prayer. And even that is terribly misunderstood. And it's misunderstood not by accident so much as it is by a kind of ignorance that has swept over human consciousness over millennia, where what we wind up praying for most of the time are things that we hope and have a belief that this will control the condition that we're in. So we think in terms of prayer as controlling conditions, imagining ways to change or otherwise escape our circumstances, or as it may be for some of us, to feel and imagine that there is some God that's going to somehow look down on us and realize that our football team needs to be the one that wins. And so we pray that our team wins. That could get me started on a whole rant of a certain kind. Give us this day our daily bread, begins that prayer. And did you know that in the ancient language, that the word bread wasn't something that you ate, at least not in the usual sense, but it was a transubstantial bread. The word bread was actually, and I can't pronounce the word, it was actually a verb, to rise. Give us this day what we need to rise. to be carried above the demands of this unconscious nature, endlessly seeking to satisfy itself as it does through the objects, the possessions, the powers that it imagines will complete it. And part of our work, part of your work as an aspirant, if I may, and one of the first prayers that I said I would share with you to bring in, to invite a peace that passes understanding. The first commandment of a true aspirant is to be honest with himself or herself at all costs. The world has conditioned us, and we have unknowingly acquiesced to it, to be instantaneous justifiers of a lie that we were sold and told ourselves would bring about an end to our sense of being incomplete. And so the vast majority of our thoughts and feelings, what we call our prayers, begin from a very mistaken understanding of ourselves. Because if we're honest in this instance, as the first prayer, please let me be ruthlessly honest with myself about myself. How many times has a man or a woman made it through that moment, you know, got through that day? Got my hands on that money or that influence, and felt in that moment as if, oh, thank you, and which isn't inappropriate. We should always be grateful for the blessings we have, but to never mistake an individual blessing itself for being that which completes us. How many times does a human being go through this same iteration over and over again of recognizing that once again, I'm back in this place where I feel like something is at risk, there's a fear, there's a doubt, and I've got to do whatever it takes to bring an end to that fear, bring an end to that sense of loss or insecurity. And so without understanding it, our prayers or rise up out of a consciousness whose very perception of the world in which it lives is that it is apart from that world, and that it must take something from that world in order to bring itself into this peace that it has imagined. But the problem with the peace that this consciousness imagines, the problem with this peace that we imagine will complete us when we finally acquire what this consciousness tells us is missing, the problem with that consciousness is that it is forever and always apart from what it imagines it needs to be whole. Give us this day our daily bread. Please help me to rise above a consciousness that believes that of itself and from its own content, it can complete itself, because it cannot. And this is where the first part of this honesty comes in. Just see it. We as human beings have an unanswerable need. Since the beginning of time, since this consciousness of which we are a part and which is in part within us, since this consciousness, in quotes, fell or descended into this state of duality, of a mind that forever sees everything outside of itself and seeks to complete itself outside of itself, ever since that took place, which, by the way, it's not a question of what happened some gazillion years ago, whatever silly religious thought imagines that there was this time. This is always in place, always unfolding, always being expressed, and therefore always understandable if we can reach by rising a realization of our relationship to this consciousness. I keep answering the need. I have a fear. I want security. I feel the need to be secure. That's somewhat natural, isn't it? In this insane world. And so I go about my business. I do what I must do to answer that need. But I don't know if you've seen this or not. No more do I answer the initial idea of a need to be secure, and I obtain some level of security, then that security is not enough. And I need more security. I need to be approved by people, and I do what I must. I sell my soul for the sake of those looking and smiling at me because I've acquired some position or status that makes me significant or special. And that's still not enough, because the moment one person doesn't avow that I am what I believe myself to be, then I fall and feel a victim of that person. And I join power. I join groups. I do all of these things. I'm searching for a way. Are we not? To answer a need that, if I'm honest, I don't understand. I think I understand it. I think I need love. I think I need company. I think I need. And maybe those things have a place. And in a way they do, because it is through the gradual recognition that this consciousness can continue to come up with, and we'll just call them social needs, physical aberrations of greater pleasures that will produce the sense that I made it, all these things. But when it is all said and done, and I'll ask you over here on the board, do you know that some in Virginia and some of the states where they mine coal, did you know that there are fires that burn underground for hundreds of years? Some coal gets lit and it smolders. And given the right conditions, it becomes a fire. It almost can't be put out. In fact, I don't know enough about them, but I know enough to know that you cannot extinguish these underground coal fires, is to the best of my knowledge. But that's not the point. The point is what? There is a smoldering need in me, and I didn't put it there. I was born with a need. Birds fly, fish swim, men and women pray, says the Eastern scripture. And what are the prayers that we have when we make them? In a manner of speaking, our prayers are co-opted. And they become unconscious. Like, just as an example, if you can see it, suddenly something happens that looks like a threat of some kind. In that moment of ostensible disturbance, something in quotes out of place, what goes on inside of us? And you're free to comment over here. I don't even know if I'm still talking to anybody. I haven't seen any comments come up for 3 or 4 minutes. Are you still there? Good. Yeah. It's what comes up? Somebody says fear. No, here's what comes up. It's, of course, fear, the reaction. Here's what comes up. What do I have to do? What must I do? What needs to be done now? Oh, no. How do I handle this? And in the moment where this consciousness that has decided what it needs to be whole meets a moment that denies it the sense of itself, of being complete, in that split second, it begins to look at that moment as something that it needs to go back into and fix. It needs to complete itself again. And so what happens is our attention is taken onto the object of a desire imagined to put out that fire. Our attention goes onto an object imagined as needed to put out that fire. And we fail to see that when our imagination goes onto the object desired to put out that fire, we have just rekindled the fire itself. Because what is the nature of that fire, other than some desire we have that we don't even know we live with, has been challenged by some condition in the world? Yes, Deborah, that's exactly right. An instantaneous unconscious prayer uttered by an unconscious nature, hoping to be able to rescue itself through what it imagines will free it and bring it the peace it thinks it's lost. And that level of consciousness has no peace any more than a ceasefire on a battlefield means the end of the war. How many times have you tried to put out a fear? A worry, a doubt. How many times have you tried to make peace with the fact that your body is getting older? So here's what I'm trying to get to. The reason I can't answer this need is because it's not a creation of my own. Even at a physical level, I didn't create the need for water, the need for food, the need for air, the need for open space, the need for social interaction. I didn't create that need. But those needs come with this body, don't they? So my body has its needs. And every body, every creation has its need. But we are not just this body. Because in this body, as is true of every seed, is something that needs what it needs in order to flower, to grow, to rise. It's an emptiness deep inside. At the very center of the soul, there is an emptiness that has a need that it did not create, and that of itself, it cannot answer it. I mean, I could go on and give you examples. It's just, they're just, our life is a living testimony of ceaseless examples of where it is that we have a need, but that is superseded by a consciousness that determines the source of that need as being a threat that has to be answered, and therefore it calls upon the content of itself to bring an end and complete the moment and then get on with the next thing. And to continue this theme, if you're still with me, have you ever had a need? I know you have, or you wouldn't be here with me. A need to understand something. The need to understand something you could call it the point of contemplation. Because at a certain point, if you need to understand something, and then like everything else, you continue to come up with answers to that need. I need to understand this. And so I read my books, I listen to talks, I do the things that I do to develop myself. And I am nourished if I find any possible true source of understanding. The need is nourished. But even though the need is nourished, does it go away? Or is there some unfathomable relationship between the fact that as the need is nourished and some understanding begins to flower in the soul, as the mind begins to grow into new understanding, the very fact that it's growing into new understanding heightens the need that it has, because it starts to recognize that the answer, the source that completes that need, is as endless as is the need itself. And that somehow the need and what completes the need are not separate things. They don't exist separately the way this consciousness has everything separated out into, I'm in this place in this time, I have this need, and therefore I need this and that in another time to come. I will finally gain, acquire what I need. And the peace that passes understanding does not exist in the time to come. Whatever peace that we think we acquire through completing ourselves through what we desire and then manifest, we have that capacity. It's kind of a miracle. As a human being, as a creation, I am endowed with the capacity to create. And I create how? By giving my attention to something, then keeping my attention there until there is a relationship between myself and what is in the world, the material of it at all levels, and I'm able to actually, to some degree, manifest. You take a sculptor, an artist, a musician. They create, they write. Well, from what do they create? From what do they write? They pull out of what is in time, what is timeless. They bring a form into, they bring out of what is formless a form. Attention and creation. So here's the point, because I got to get going. You might write it down to contemplate if you wish. Most of us live in this loop of trying to complete ourselves, only to come up short again. Because everything we imagine to complete ourselves, all of our icons, whatever they are, religious, financial, social, every last one of them, is junk. It's powerless. And honesty begins with seeing that these things that we have placed ourselves in the hands of them, hoping they will liberate us, release us, free us, they have not done so. And if they do so, it's only for as long as that particular moment lasts and the conditions allow us to remain in that sense of having our hands on this thing. We do not understand the need that we have, and that the answer to that need is in itself. The answer to the need we have cannot be found outside of the need itself. This is foreign to us. Here is you and me. Need, supply. Need, answer. Need, get. Need, do. Need, fight. Need, run. For us, need is always apart from what is needed. And I'm trying to bring you to see that in its truest form, this is a big jump, in its truest form, this need in the center of our soul is a kind of emptiness. Can you see that? Isn't need a kind of emptiness? Obviously it is. If there's a need, there's something that's required to fill it. Spiritual need is a kind of emptiness, but an emptiness that is a space, like all things that are empty, that doesn't just wait to be filled, but that is created with what it requires to be filled. the need of the pasture in the sun, in the heat of the sun. That need is a kind of emptiness that can only be answered by the conditions that bring about the spring, the fall rains. There is a great connection between these things, so that there is no emptiness that doesn't exist without which is created to fill it. I suppose the yin and the yang of things, if you want to use terminology like that. And so this need that we all have, that we keep trying to fill, the reason it can't be filled is because there's nothing that this consciousness can imagine or create that has the capacity to enter into and be with that need so purely, so fully, that the need begins to reveal that within itself, within that space, everything is drawn to it. Think now. When we have a need, we become active. Yes? Please? When I have a need, and all of my so-called needs are primarily predicated on the appearance of some disturbance, some fear, some worry, something I've imagined I need in order to be exalted and be superior. So for us, our needs, all of our needs are connected to an activity. Yes or no? Please. I must do, I must be, I must become. We must understand and have a new relationship with need, where instead of trying to fill that emptiness, instead of trying to fill that need with something that we believe will bring about the end of it, we start to understand, oh, I hope this falls on the right part of you. The need that we have is as endless as is the divine will to complete it, to fill it. Endless need. Endless filling. But we don't live with the need. Our problem is that we're disconnected from it. And our culture does everything to ensure that we remain disconnected from this need by ensuring that we have everything that we need to distract ourselves from that need. What would happen if I'm sitting at home, I'm in my car, something's going on, whatever it is, and suddenly I feel a fear? Now, I'm so used to feeling fear that it never even dawns on me that that fear is as mechanical as a clock, and that given certain conditions, tick-tock, 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 that suddenly something's going to appear, I'm going to be troubled by it. And then when I'm troubled by it, that same consciousness that creates the fear through its attachments to whatever the conditions are, same consciousness that says, well, here's what we need. And I'm often active trying to complete myself according to what? I'm actually trying to complete the appearance of the fear. I think to myself, I'm trying to get rid of it. I'm not trying to get rid of the fear. Do you think a consciousness that creates fear wants to be free of fear? Come on. But here's the next of the four prayers. What if I realize I have answered the prayer of fear? How do I get people to like me? How do I make sure I have, that I can keep my pleasures in place? I want this moment to go the way I want it to go. I don't want it to go any other way than this. I want you to be the way you are. All of these are prayers of an unconscious nature that ensures it remains in place, telling us through desire and image what we need to be complete. And every last part of it's a lie. And what if I see that? If I actually understand, here I am, I feel this fear, and I have a need, I can feel the need. I feel the need to be free of this fear. But you see, the need to be free of fear can't be found by finding something outside of myself to bring an end to the fear. The need to be free of fear is in the end of fear itself, not in its continuation. And so I've completed this fear thing a bazillion times, and I'm still afraid. What would happen if when the moment of that need appeared, I didn't answer it? I let that space, I let that emptiness, the sheer need is what I give my attention to. Bringing my awareness as best I can and collecting my attention, which is a far cry for most of us, but bringing whatever little attention I have based on what little truth I know. I'm not going to answer that need, how to answer this fear. Because the answer to that fear is in the need itself. Did you know, and maybe you do, maybe you don't, so much is lost in this world these days, that in every temple, every mosque, every even churches, but particularly in the older religions, there is a special room. In the Jewish tradition, they keep the Torah, the holy of, they keep the, only a few, only one supposedly pure person is allowed to go into that room. When I went to the Bhutan, when I was in the Himalayas, I was lucky enough to be taken into one of these interior rooms by the abbot that ran that particular monastery somewhere in the Himalayas, to look at things that only a few people get to see, because there are all of these never mind. The point being that we have in this temple of this human being, there is a room like that. That's what the room out there represents. This very, very special place where is contained the essence of all of these things, in this instance, that are the teachings, but in our life, where we can begin to understand that this need is a kind of room. It is a kind of space. And if I don't fill that space, but allow that space to remain empty, and I enter into the emptiness of that space with my attention, then in that space, everything comes in. Everything is revealed in that space. All that I don't know about myself, all that I've yet to see. The fact, for instance, that if I leave that need, to be answered by what created it, I see that take place. I see everything that's not the true answer to that need. If you look at this with me, I know you wouldn't be here, especially still listening, if you haven't had moments where suddenly there's been an epiphany, an insight, suddenly you were given an understanding. Well, you didn't create the understanding that you were given. What you were shown is that understanding that you had been lifted into the relationship with, you were shown that was there all along. Oh, yes, now I remember. Now I see it. I couldn't before because I was blind. And what was I blinded by? Everything that I kept telling myself I needed to do or to understand. I kept talking to myself. That's the third of the prayers. When these moments come, don't talk to yourself, for God's sake. Because whatever is talking to you is trying to drag you into a relationship with that consciousness that's telling you that if you just think this through a little bit more, you'll come to the end of that pain. But the pain belongs to a need that has been answered incorrectly, and that when the need is answered correctly, you see the source of that pain. You see the consciousness that creates it. Is this tough stuff? You bet. I like to say that truth is a full contact sport. We'll change the word. Conscious prayer is a full contact sport, because it requires, which is the fourth prayer, to deliberately deprive yourself of seeking any known consolation, let alone allowing that consciousness, as it always will, to just drop in. And it does, like raining thoughts. So the financial need is not fear but need, or not the focus on need. Iris, look, I want to answer the question. There's an old, beautiful old passage: put your faith in Allah but tie up your camel. Our mind is an exclusionary mind. That's how it works. My mind will glom onto something, and then it'll look at the whole of my life through that one little peephole. If you need to provide for yourself, by God, don't sit and wait for God to drop a basket of pearls in your lap. That's insane. I'm in a body. My body has requirements. I need to make a living. I don't need to be rich. I need good food. I don't need food that's pleasurable. But if I can have that without compromising what it is that I need to do with my life, which is what? What in the end is ceaseless prayer other than attending without cease the answer, the need that I have that's never not there? That's the other thing. It's just all covered up. The need of the soul is as present as is the need of the body to breathe. But we've been brought into a world that knows nothing about that need, let alone how we can begin to enter into this holy of holies, this place in this temple of this, in this physical body that itself holds another body. That by entering into that space between the condition and the reaction to it, and instead of allowing the reaction to produce the desires based on the conditioning of our experience, to remain there in that need that I can't answer, and then see what answers it. See what I'm given through my awareness in that space of what pours into it. And I'll tell you what pours into it. The realization of how deluded I've been, the miracle of how I'm endlessly given what I need if I'm willing to continually rise. Is it possible for someone to summarize or post these four prayers? Katie, I don't know if that can be done. Maybe when we repost this on our website. I don't know the answer to that. So I have to pass on answering that. Well, I'm at 42 minutes. The prayers that I gave you, they're just words, but they are words that were formulated out of living with a need and seeing how that need has been answered by something that never answered it. So that just as this need is an emptiness, so does understanding how that need has been buried a form of prayer. Because it is through the negation of this consciousness, the negation of this identification with its endless, insatiable appetite to complete itself. It's with bringing an end to complete myself that I begin to enter into a world where I see I have already been completed. It is done. Liberation isn't an attainment. It is a realization. But it can only be found in that space where that need lives and is answered, where that emptiness is filled by the divine that produced it and put it there.